Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Yeah, Elder Carl, how are you doing?
No, I'm doing good, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you, man. I can't complain, my elder. I hope that the day's been good for you.
No, it's been a blessing. Any day with God is a perfect day.
Oh, yes, I definitely buy that. Thank you so much for that. Now, we are going to be talking about the VOP lesson titled The Bible Summarized in the Ten Commandments. And, of course, we have the Bible as the guidebook for a healthy Christian lifestyle. But before the Bible was put together, but the people of Israel had Ten Commandments as a summary of biblical guidelines for their daily lives. And so we're going to be trying to understand exactly that. So, my elder, please do assist us and the listeners to understand how the Bible is summarized in Ten Commandments according to today's lesson.
Okay, my brother, you know, the Ten Commandments, they naturally fall into two divisions. The first four of the Ten Commandments, they define our relationship to God. Mm-hmm. And the last six define our relationship to our neighbor,
yep,
which is to other people. And these commandments, we find them in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20 to be exact. Mm-hmm. And these Ten Commandments, you also find them summarized in the Old Testament. And they are summarized in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, mm-hmm, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And also, when we look in the New Testament, Jesus was asked, which is the greatest of the Ten Commandments, as recorded in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered, look at his answer. He says, mm-hmm, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So we see that the Bible has summarized the Ten Commandments in both the Old and the New Testament. Mm. Now, when we look at the Ten Commandments, the first four, like I said, is your relationship between yourself and God. And the first two of the four commandments, they outline our relationship between regarding to God and worship, us worshiping God and our relationship to Him. So if you allow me, can I summarize them?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So the first commandment, it says, do not have other gods before me. That's Exodus 20, verse 3. Mm. So what does this mean? This means that nothing and no one should be worshipped above God. So worshipping anything or anyone other than the one true God, it's a violation of this commandment. Whether it's you idolizing celebrities or preachers or politicians or even religious leaders or any other human being or God, false God, is when you put that above God, that is worshipping other gods before the Almighty God, the Creator. So we should not put anything above God. The second commandment,
yep,
says that you shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth, and you shall not bow down or serve them. So what does this mean? This means that we shouldn't create gods or idols to worship or to serve. So many addictions that we experience on earth today can also be a god to us. Mm-hmm. You know, idols, when we look in the Bible in the past, they usually were known to refer to like physical statues of stone or gold or silver. But today, Christians, we struggle with putting electronics, work, money, even relationships above God.
Mm.
Mm. And we can keep important things in our life and value things, but we should not allow that to affect our relationship. God's relationship with us should always be top priority.
Mm.
Then of those four commandments, the third and the fourth commandment, they define our relationship to God's or name and God's holy day. So the commandment number three, It says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. So what does this mean? This means we shouldn't use the Lord's name unless we genuinely speaking to him or about him. So swearing, cursing with God's name, claiming to do something in God's name that actually maybe in reality is self-serving, mm-hmm. those are ways of using his name in vain. So so God's name should only be used fervently and with honor. So if you speak to or you speak about God, whatever you say when you use his name should honor or teach about him. Mm. Then the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And you know, when you go on reading, it says why? Because in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So this means that we should observe the Sabbath day. We should remember why God made it, and we should teach the Sabbath to our children so they also remember it. So today, when we look at society, and especially in the religious society, many people choose one day of the week to attend church. They choose one day of the week to have, you know, family activities. But it's important that when the Bible says remember, it says remember in this fourth commandment, the Sabbath is to be remembered as that as the seventh day of the week. And on this day, what should we do? We shouldn't just attend church. We should worship God through the day. We should commune with him. We should fellowship with other Christians. We should do God's good work. So those are you. So the first four commandments, that's your relationship between yourself and God, how you should worship him, when you should worship him, and how you should uphold his name. Now, the remaining six, that is your relationship between yourself and mankind, yourself and your neighbor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, commandments, let's look at commandments 5 and 7.
Okay.
That is specifically looking at the family bond. You know, honor your father and mother. So, what does this mean? It means that we should obviously respect our father, respect our mother. It's about preserving your relationship with your earthly parents. And this, how does this look like? It looks like obedience. It what comes to mind, obedience, respect. But sometimes you might find you in a situation where your parents are abusive, your parents are unchristian. What do? You can still honor them. You can still respect them. You can still communicate to them with honor and respect, but you can even heed their advice as long as it is righteous advice. But if they are on a path of unrighteousness, you can still choose a righteous path with respect. So you must always respect your earthly parents. Number 7, do not commit adultery. What does this mean? It means we must respect marriage. We must respect the vows, marriage vows. We shouldn't interfere with the marriage of another person. We should respect your body. You should respect your spouse's body. We shouldn't have sexual relations like with someone someone other than the one that you married with. And we shouldn't have, like, what do they call it? I think it's non-platonic behavior with another person. Don't flirt with other people. You know, be committed in your marriage. Now, commandment, number 6, 8, 9, and 10.
Okay.
That is your social relationship between yourself and your neighbor. So, do not murder.
Yeah.
What this means, you should protect life. You should preserve the human life. You should never take the life of another person. You shouldn't deliberately kill another person because that's violating their command. Now, what about if someone dies due to an accidental death? You know, what is that breaking this commandment? You know, you got to think about it. Is it a premeditated crime that resulted in the death, or was it accidental death? So what is more important is, was harm intended? You know, so we shouldn't murder. We must preserve life. Number eight, do not steal. So you should respect other people's property. Don't take what doesn't belong to you without permission. Even if you are in need, regardless of your personal situation, we shouldn't take or use something that belongs to another person. You must ask permission. Number nine, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. We should never make false accusations or dishonestly mar somebody's reputation. Number ten, don't covet your neighbor's house. So we should appreciate, don't covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife, or male servant, female servant, his ox, donkey, or anything that's your neighbor's. So we should appreciate what we have. We should avoid longing for things other people have or feeling entitled to have things that other people have. So these 10 commandments, they are commandments of love, your love to God and your love to your fellow man. That is the summary of the 10 commandments, commandments of love.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, having gone through all of them, my elder, if we can try our very best to keep these commandments, is it possible that we're able to do so, to keep all of them?
The answer is no and yes. The reason why I say that, we cannot keep the law on our own will, with our own willpower. Because if we could keep the law, the Ten Commandments, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to die for our sins. Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So it's not possible with our own willpower, but it is possible to keep the Ten Commandments through the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit, which was promised to us, by the way, by Jesus. And he says, the Bible teaches us that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, and when we go through the process of baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Comforter, we receive the Sanctifier, the one that makes us holy. We receive the Spirit of God that brings to remembrance the words of God in times of temptation, in order for us to defeat the adversary, the devil, when we are tempted. And this leads us to obedience to God's word, but only through the indwelling power or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Can I give an illustration?
Please do.
So let's just imagine that we are adrift on a raft. You know, we're going down a river. And all of a sudden, we see in front there's a waterfall. And someone comes in a helicopter to rescue you. They throw down a rope. They throw down a ladder. They tell you, grab hold of the ladder and start climbing and, you know, just hang on. So you've got a choice. You've got a choice to either obey them or disobey the instruction. Now, if you disobey, what will happen? You'll obviously die.
Of course.
But if you obey them, if you obey them partially, let's just say you grab hold, but you don't climb, or you grab hold, you climb, but then you let go before the helicopter gets to land, you will also die. So obedience is a very much key. It's a key that's needed for you to be saved from this waterfall. So when we exercise our faith in God, now hear me, when we exercise our faith in God through the guidance of this Spirit that's given to us when we get baptized, the faith that God has given us to begin with, because God, even the faith we have, we receive from God, that faith becomes strengthened when we obey. And as we obey God, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us or starts to make us holy in character, and which is an ongoing process. And by doing so, we are and abiding in the Spirit, we are enabled to even render more obedience and more obedience, and building our character to be like Christ. So God, you know, God gives us a new heart when we accept Jesus. And once you accept Jesus, It means that you need to, you're going to develop a desire to want to serve him. But our characters are flawed, and our characters need to be built over time. They are not handed to us when we are, our like righteous characters, they're not handed to us when we get baptized.
Yeah, yeah.
So character is nothing more than a solid collection of habits which are built on a solid collection of actions, which are built on a solid collection of thoughts, and thoughts that are brought and influenced by the Holy Spirit. So we need to have habits of obedience to be fitted to go to heaven. And it all starts by obeying God. So we need to keep his commandments, but we can only do so when we submit to God.
Mm-hmm.
And once we do that, God will empower us to do his will. And as we continue to obey and do his will, he will empower us to do more of his will, and so on and so forth. And so without, you know, how can I put it? We need to choose to obey, because in salvation, and I'm closing off the question.
Right.
When it comes to salvation, obedience cannot be removed from the equation. Love cannot be removed from the equation.
True.
The grace of God cannot be removed from the equation. Faith in Jesus cannot be removed from the equation. And repentance, and most importantly, the faith of Jesus. So Jesus was obedient to his Father.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be able to obey God, to be within his will. And we need God before we can obey. And we must choose to obey to receive the power to obey. I know it's a tongue twister.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just press forward towards that mark, my brother, of obedience, but through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at the Ten Commandments, and I'm wondering if, many thousands of years later, if they're still relevant at all. I mean, we hear some people saying now there is now no condemnation, and others would quote that, the law has now been done away with and grace is now in place. Is this Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, still relevant, really? Many thousands of decades later.
Now, I think that the Ten Commandments are very much still relevant today, because most of society is structured based on those Ten Commandments.
Mm.
And God, the Bible teaches us that God's people will be keeping his commandments because they love Jesus. So your love for Jesus and keeping the commandments go hand in hand. It says that, like the Bible teaches us, that God's people will not keep the commandments in their own power. They will not keep the commandments in order to save themselves, because they cannot do it on their own will. So like what we say, the Holy Spirit helps us to keep these commandments of love. And in order for us to be Christians, to follow God's character, when we describe God, God is a God of love.
Mm, mm, mm.
And for us to be a light that reflects his glory, we must also reflect that love, which is summarizing these commandments, summarizing the law. So, you know, how can I put it? Remember, my brother, we can't keep the law to be saved, but we keep the law with the Holy Spirit's help because we love Jesus.
Yeah.
And when we're in heaven, there are books that are there. There are books that record our good and our bad actions. And these records are used in the judgment. And if we acknowledge Jesus, that he did exist and he does exist, and if we acknowledge Jesus as God, that won't save us. Because James chapter 2, verse 19 says that, you know, you believe that God is one, good for you. Even the demons believe and tremble.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that saves us is if we accept Jesus' sacrifice for us and are covered by his righteousness and show our faith in him and love for him by keeping his law. Because Jesus said it himself, Not all that call him Lord will make it into the kingdom, because he will say to them, I do not know you. Why? Because they do not live according to his law.
Mm.
James tells us that faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
So love always leads to obedience. And I'm closing it up. Jesus says in, John chapter 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So that record that's in heaven of your good and bad deeds, how you lived your life, the record of heaven according to his law will show if you loved him or not. Not that the law saves you, but the law shows whether you had faith in the one that has saved you.
Mm, mm, mm.
And so why do we keep the law? Not to be saved, but because we are saved. So these 10 commandments, they point out our sin in life, in our lives.
Mm.
And the Bible shows that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. So my works, my obedience adds nothing to my salvation. My salvation is completely by grace. But this grace that I've received will give me a desire not to live in sin anymore. And how do I not live in sin anymore? I keep his commandments. So Christ saved me from the penalty of sin by his grace. Christ is now saving me from the power of sin by his grace. Christ is saving me from the presence of sin by his grace. When he comes, he will take us to heaven because of his grace. But to show our gratitude towards him and our love towards him, we keep the commandments. And that's why I want to stop being a slave to sin, because I love him.
Beautiful.
So we should keep the commandments, my brother.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, Elder Carl Vajure, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. All be well with you. Thank you so much, and be blessed immensely. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, my brother.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.